ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. This is your host, the Gas Man, with my co-host, Lugs.
Well, hey there, Gas Man. Nice to see you.
Yeah, it's been forever. A while. Forever, man. I got knocked the dust off of it, you know, and it's been rough.
Has it been rough, yeah.
So I really liked it. It's fans, I'm sorry for us not having an episode last week. Family issue, I guess you would say. My father-in-law passed away of pancreatic cancer. 2019 has sucked, by the way. Mm-hmm. So welcome to the new year. It blows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We lost J.D. Gibbs, Glenn Wood, my father-in-law. A lot of things. I've had friends that the relationships have ended. It's just like, literally, it's been a cataclysm of shit so far for 2019.
Yeah.
I get notified at work today that I might be getting I don't want to use the term shipped out, but I have to travel quite a distance away for the next possibly year or more, which means I'll only be home for the weekends.
Make me want to drink.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, official beer of NASCAR, Bush, we're getting going on this thing. We may have a few of these tonight. 2019, FU.
Yeah, not a great start. Hopefully it's better for you, fans. Thank you for listening and tuning in and joining us, even though it's been, what, 3 weeks now? Is it we missed?
It's been 3 weeks.
Technically, yeah.
It feels like 3 months. You know, I apologize that we had to delay it. I apologize to Joey Gase. Joey's going to call in the show in a little bit because I had to reschedule. It's just been, like I said, it's been a cataclysm of just bad events.
Yeah, sorry to hear that you're going through that, Gas Man, and, you know, it's out of your control, and I'm sure everybody understands that.
Yeah, so. I appreciate it. Thank you. Well, let's get this show on the road, you know, and let's get going. Nothing fixes things until you get back into rhythm again.
It's true. Time heals all wounds.
Touche.
Touche. You like that?
Yes. That might be the most profound thing you've ever said on this show.
Well, I don't know. I've said some pretty profound things, so.
All right, so let's get started. We'll just break it down. Again, you're drinking our Busch Lights, our official beer of NASCAR. Cheers to you. Cheers to a better 2019.
Clink.
Yeah. They didn't really make a sound, too. Two cans hitting each other.
That's why I said it.
It sounded real. Clink. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very real sounding. So thank you for your special effects.
We're low budget. I mean, it's not a shock to anybody.
Yes. So anyway, again, we'll be joined in just a little bit by Joey Gase. There's some big news that he announced this past week, so good for him. But so first off, you know, we lost Glenn Wood, we lost J.D. Gibbs. Very somber week with two very influential people in the sport passing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's always a sad time. So anyway, I'm putting my beer in the air. Cheers to some of the NASCAR gods and, you know, keep watch over them. We'll go on a little bit better news and stuff now. I don't want to linger on that too long, but I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. Okay, well, Jimmy Johnson's paint scheme. Give me your impression.
Oh, wow. You're jumping right into it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because I completely forgot that that was announced or shown.
How'd you forget
that? You know what? It's been 3 weeks, man, since, okay. Well, I don't know if it's been 3 weeks since it's been unveiled, but you know what? It's, I'm going to use the word marginally here, so don't jump me. It's marginally grown on me, but it's not a bad paint scheme aside from the hood.
Yeah, okay, yes. My first initial, like, view of it, I'm like, vomit, vomit, vomit.
Yeah.
More I look at it and analyze it, it actually is a really good paint scheme, except for the damn hood. Mm-hmm. What were they thinking?
Yeah, I don't know. So, as you know, Saka, who's co-hosted with us before, we do an online YouTube series where we, you know, race the exact race that the Cup Series are racing that weekend. So we've already got a jump start on our season. We started the Clash, so we've got all the new paint schemes and the 2019 mod and everything. So we did the Clash. We've already done that, and Johnson's car was in there, the new one. And I don't know. It just seeing it on the track, even though it was a video game, it grew on me. It grew on me a little bit. Now the hood. I'm still out to lunch on the hood.
I like the black, and I guess they call it plum color. I think it works well. It's that damn hood.
It's, you know, here's the thing. You've got somebody that's, how many years was he with Lowe's? Since 2003?
Yeah.
So, you know, over, well, 15 years basically. Yeah. And I don't know. Everybody just wants to bitch about something.
Well, thanks. Yeah.
It's the off season, yeah. So I mean, what else they gonna bitch about?
Yeah, true. So on some of the things posted on Twitter from like Hendrick Motorsports, etc., it showed like Jimmy going through and like working on his paint scheme with the designers. Hendrick Motorsports.
I hate it when people say that. You didn't, but I'm just
okay. I was like, I did. I don't think I did. Okay, but anyway, looking, there were some like in the background. You could see some of the paint schemes they were looking at. There was actually some really good. Potential.
For the Ally?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And they had, it was like a white car that faded into a purple. They had other black options and stuff like that. And they had some really good looking paint schemes. Why they chose that one? Again, the car looks fantastic except for the hood. So yeah. They actually had a hood on one of them, had a hood, like a very similar paint scheme to that, but the hood looked different. It looked really good.
Yeah. So I think more teams and drivers, they need to get the fans more involved with the paint schemes. It's always been something that's here or there with different teams throughout the seasons.
It's funny you mention that because we'll be talking to Joey Gase in just a little bit. He actually has that thing going on right now.
Exactly. And actually, Bubba Wallace has something going on right now, too, with Plan B Sales. They're sponsoring one of his races, and you can sponsor, basically, essentially get your name on the car for a certain amount of money. But they have the voting going on. Actually, it ended like 2 days ago. But you could vote for what paint scheme you liked. And it was all fan-submitted. They had a ton of entries. And I think that's pretty much what Joey's doing too. But I think they need to do more of that. And they could have done. They should have done that with Johnson.
Yeah, I agree.
Being a legend of the sport. And
I agree. Yeah. Man, he would have been bombarded, though, with fans submitting and stuff.
Yeah.
But I agree that maybe they should just had a poll on the four finalists or something. They could have come up with something.
I'm sure there's been a lot of things in history. Being a Gordon fan, I can tell you, I know they did a lot with Pepsi that was kind of similar to that, but I can't really think of any others off the top of my head that they've done fan paint schemes. And I'm sure there has been.
And I reached out to some of my buddies that still work at Ally. And they're like, man, it's a good-looking car, but we've never seen that branding used, like with the use for the hood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, we haven't seen that used.
Well, it's like the word and then like a bunch of like outline lines.
It's like the word if someone is having a seizure.
Or like a ripple effect. Yeah. It was painted in wet paint, and then they dropped something, and it just had a ripple effect or something.
I see what you're saying. I don't think it's a ripple effect. I see what you're saying there. But
it kind of mimics that little bit.
I see what you're saying there, yeah. I don't know. Anyway,
fans,
maybe we'll
let
grow.
Us know. What
yeah,
do you think?
What you think, yeah. So, enough said about Johnson's shitty paint scheme. So, let's go on to Jamie McMurray. Driving the 40 car. What's your thoughts on that?
It's good to see him back for one more 5-5, especially if you're a McMurray fan. It's good to see him back.
Yeah, and the 40 car is very interesting.
Yeah, where he made his debut. Mm-hmm. Too bad they couldn't get Coors to come back.
Yeah, I know. Had like a silver bullet or something again. Yeah.
That would have been crazy.
And see, the 500 is going to be sponsored by Cessna. And then the Clash is going to be sponsored...
McDonald's?
Advent Health.
Oh. The opposite of health.
Yeah.
Opposite of McDonald's.
McDonald's, yeah. So it's kind of like a blue and white. It kind of reminds me of Aspen Dental's old paint scheme, the blue and white coloration for the Clash. And then it's black and white and red for the 500.
Yeah.
But it's cool seeing him in the 40. It's the 77 charter that Spire Motorsports purchased from Furniture Row.
Mm-hmm.
But they're using 40 for the 500. And the rest of the season, they'll be number 77. Talking about that, did you see who they tabbed to drive at least a part-time schedule in that car?
Yes.
You going to say his name?
I mean, you just asked. You didn't tell. So, Quinn Hoff.
Okay, so how much do you know about Quinn?
I've never heard of him.
So he's raced 10 races in the Xfinity Series. I'm hoping we can get him on the show and learn about him, because I don't know hardly anything about him either.
Mm-hmm.
So
that'd be cool.
Yeah, so I may try to reach out and see if he responds back and get a conversation with him.
Hopefully you don't mock them.
I would never do such a thing.
Lies. Backing up, though, going back to the Clash. So they announced there's 20 drivers that are eligible for this year's Clash.
Oh, yes.
That's including McMurray. Myself, I'm sure a lot of people were wondering, you know, would McMurray enter the Clash because he was eligible, and so they announced this week that obviously he is, so that puts the field at 20 when they race that. What is that? That's like 2 weeks from this weekend.
Yeah,
it's rapidly, it's coming up, man. Rapidly approaching.
Coming up. It's getting exciting. I actually had a doctor's appointment today. He's like, so how's the podcast going? So I talked to him about that. Yeah, actually he does.
Really?
And then he's like, so when does the season start again? So we were talking, we spent most of my doctor's appointment talking about the podcast and racing season.
Yeah.
And then we shook hands and high-fived afterwards. All right, so moving on. You know, we were talking about Jimmy Johnson earlier. You know how Lowe's pulled out of the sport, obviously. But now it's been announced that Lowe's is going to be the official hardware provider, home provider, whatever, of NFL. So my question to you, Lugs, being a lifelong Jimmy Johnson fan, it's like Jeff Gordon Light.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Anyway, money well spent. I think they would pay more going to the NFL than what they were doing in the NASCAR circuit.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. They got to be paying more. Because let's face it, NFL has a lot more fans, especially right now. You know, I don't think NASCAR ever did even came close to really eclipsing them, but they've got to be paying a premium. But I don't know. Patriots, they keep going to every Super Bowl. They're going to start losing fans.
Well, they already said that prices for this Super Bowl is going down as soon as they announced the team, or as soon as the teams that made it, the prices of the tickets went down.
Because
they're so tired of the damn Patriots.
Yeah.
Me included.
It's kind of like Jimmy Johnson, man. Like, when he was winning all the championships, like, people were just like,
true.
Damn it, I'm done with this.
True.
I'm not. It's rigged. Blah, blah, blah. Bitch, bitch, bitch. So I see the point, but yes, to answer your question, yeah, Lowe's has got to be paying more.
I mean, why wouldn't they just take
it out? Is it worth
two more years?
I don't know if it's worth it. Obviously, they think it is; otherwise, wouldn't be paying that money. But
it's just heartbreaking seeing that they're laying people off, closing the stores, going through the changes they're going through, then they make that move.
Yeah, I heard the layoffs, but I also heard like the stores they laid off. They also had like another Lowe's
like
location
within 10 miles,
within
or something?
Like 5 miles, or it was something ridiculous. So it's like, well,
it's like, you know, Walgreens and CVS is across the street from each other,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Cannibalizing profits, Starbucks. Yeah, I understand. So let's continue to move on. I'm gonna ask you right now. I have in the last 3 weeks since our last episode, what's been the most surprising announcement to you?
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot here. Man, actually, I heard this the other day that NASCAR's putting together a deal with like an official sports betting sponsorship.
Oh, I didn't write that down, but yeah, I heard that too.
So I think that's the biggest thing that's really surprised me here in the last couple of weeks. What about you?
Mike Wallace getting a Cup ride.
Is that 100% confirmed?
Well, see, I don't know what he posted that he's got a ride with a competing team, but who? I haven't heard who yet. So, fans, if you know, let us know, because obviously I missed that. But if that's true, why in the hell of all the talent out there would you get Mike Wallace a shot?
Oh, you know what the most surprising announcement was?
What?
Suarez going to the 41.
Oh, yeah, so surprising. That was shocking. We didn't see that coming. Yeah. But
finally, they announced
it, finally.
Though.
Got off their tushes. Yeah.
Now you want to be PC.
Might be kids listening. They need to know medical stuff. It's very important. We'll need to edit that out. That's very conducive to proper health. Get your prostate.
Speak words loudly, chopped up. Yeah, so that was announced. Suarez going to the 41. And was it announced that Aris is going? I don't remember seeing they actually had sponsorship.
I'm making an assumption it is, because it's not going to the 19.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Make the assumption
you would assume it was, but I don't remember seeing that in the statement. But anyways, finally that's been announced. So aside from Mike Wallace, I think most people have got their rides lined up for 2019.
Yeah, I mean, we have Ryan Truex going to do the 500.
Who's he going to run
Tommy
for?
Baldwin.
Okay.
Tommy Baldwin Racing. So there's actually, it could be 42 or more cars trying to make the Daytona 500. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I don't think we had that last year. I think it was exactly 40.
40, yeah. I would really like them to go back to 43 if the cars are there.
Yeah, I don't know if they will, though.
I don't think they would. Yeah, I don't think so. So here's some more surprising announcements that NASCAR made a lot of layoffs.
Yeah, and I feel like they tried to sneak that announcement out there because
there were some key people, too.
But it was like after the fact, like a couple days later I heard about after it had been announced. So I feel like they like tried to leak it as quietly as they could. But I could never find any information as far as like who was affected. Was
I heard
it a
Brett
certain,
Bodine.
The pace car driver?
Yeah, but he's also in competition. Part of the assistant competition director or whatever.
So possibly big
yeah.
titles.
So here's something interesting is that two people taking new spots is Scott Miller and Jay Fabian. Both of these guys are now serving in senior competition decision spots, okay? Do those names ring a bell to you?
I've heard of Scott Miller, but not Jay Fabian.
They were both executives at Michael Waltrip Racing when Clint Bowyer spun himself out. Excuse me, hold on. Poison Oak caused him to have an itch while he was driving that caused that whole fiasco at Richmond getting into the chase that year. So, you have two guys who are part of an organization that had one of the biggest fines in the history of the sport. Now they're your competition directors.
Wow. I didn't.
That's
hadn't
very
heard that.
Questionable.
I hadn't heard that, so.
Very questionable.
Yeah, no, I hadn't heard that, so that's good to know, I guess. But it's not very.
Yeah, that seemed like a very weird decision to make.
It's kind of like
that's like asking Carl Long to run your engine program.
Right? Yeah, I get that analogy. Yep. Also, some kind of good news, Camping World sponsoring all the events at Chicagoland this year.
Yeah, I've seen that. There's going to be like Camping World 250, Camping World this, Camping World that. So literally like everything at Chicagoland is going to be Camping World.
It's been a while since I think sponsors stepped up and done like a three-race weekend.
Yeah,
like
I can't think of the last time that it was a three-race weekend. Or like just a one sponsor handling pretty much the whole weekend.
Yeah. Also some news, Dumont Jets. That were with Levine Family Racing, the 95 with Kane.
Okay.
They have re-upped sponsoring this season.
Di Burrito?
Yep, with De Benedetto. So some good news there. Good to see anybody staying within the sport and renewing contracts, so that's cool.
Yeah. The Wienermobile. Did you see Ryan Newman's? Ryan Newman's paint scheme.
Oscar well, Mayer. I saw he picked up Oscar Mayer wieners or hot dogs or whatever.
His paint scheme is like hot dogs all over it. It's
really?
Very weird. Yeah, I don't know what I think about it.
I still want to know if Busch is going to run that paint scheme with Harvick this year, or if they're going to try to like sweep it under the rug and not ever bring it up again.
Busch, the paint scheme with Harvick, which one?
The one that was like all millennial sayings
stuff. Oh, yeah, because they said that,
he was going to win Homestead.
Yeah, then if not, we'll run this.
Yeah,
it was all like goofy looking.
But I don't think they've never publicly said, okay, yeah, we're going to do this or, oh, crap. Or
I'm sure
anything.
Someone's going to hold their feet to the fire at some point and bring it up, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And for the fans who don't know what we're talking about, it was a Twitter thing. And the car was like blue and pink and had like different lingo and sayings all over it. And
yeet.
Whatever. Yeah, it's just weird looking. It was the millennial paint job. Yeah.
Damn millennials.
Yeah. And now Joey Gase is calling in. Hey fans, welcome back to Wrecking Your Racing. And this is your host, The Gas Man. And we are joined by, I guess we can call him now, a cup driver and an Xfinity driver full-time for NBM Motorsports, Joey Gase. How you doing, Joey?
Good. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Thank you. So some of our fans may only know you from a couple of instances you had on the track. So our goal today is to let the fans learn who you are and not who like somebody like Ross Chastain says you are. So how'd you get started in racing?
I've been around racing my entire life, but my dad raced before I did, but just at the local short track level. We were from Iowa, and from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and there's a local short track there called Hawkeye Downs, and that's where my dad always raced, so that's where I grew up racing and then watching racing and how I fell in love with it. And a lot of people assume from being from Iowa, I'm a big dirt racer since I was kind of the dirt capital of the world, but the one track I was, or the town I was from, had the only asphalt track in the state, so that's just kind of what I grew up racing.
Okay. Now, I believe Landon Castle, we had him on a couple episodes ago. I believe he's from the same area, right?
Yeah, we're from the same town, actually, and he's, I don't know, 5 years older than me, maybe.
Oh, okay,
Everyone thinks we race against each other a lot, which actually, growing up, but actually we didn't, but he actually raced against my dad a lot. My dad was still racing out at Hawkeye Downs when Landon first started racing cars when he was 14, so they actually raced in the same class together and all that, so that was pretty cool. And when he first got started, my dad helped him out, and then when I got started, they kind of helped us out a little bit. So when he moved up from go-karts, we bought them their go-kart stuff, and then when he got in the NASCAR, we bought some of his old cars. So when I started the race, so it was definitely a small world, and kind of crazy that two of us from Iowa are now in Cedar Rapids are now up here racing. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is really neat. Landon's a good guy, and I'm sure you're a good guy as well. And talking about that, one thing I want to bring up that I guess is near and dear to your heart is organ donation. My wife is a nurse, and she is such a we go to events frequently for organ donation. It's one of the most cherished things from her perspective as being a nurse, and I've seen that's a big part of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Organ donation is something that's very important to me and something that I'm passionate about. It's something that I was kind of thrown into. Unfortunately, my mom passed away in April 2011 of a center brain aneurysm, and when that happened, the doctors asked us if she'd like to be an organ and tissue donor, and at that time, it was something we never really talked about before, and her driver's license was left at home because we rushed to the hospital when it happened, and we made the decision and said yes, and later we found out that they have improved the lives of 56 people, which was amazing to us. We thought it would only be, you know, a couple. We didn't really know how many people could really impact. And the other cool thing was when we went home was that we found her driver's license, and she already said yes on that. So knowing that we made the right decision was huge, and ever since that day, I wanted to do whatever I could to help raise awareness for that. For multiple reasons, I learned that there's over 120,000 people on the wait list nationwide right now waiting for a life-saving transplant, and not only that, I also want people to not only register to be an organ donor, but also talk about it with their loved ones, so if they're ever in the same situation that myself and my family were in, they would already know what their loved ones would want. And we've been fortunate enough to actually meet two of my mom's recipients so far, and when we did that, it really put everything in perspective, and then knowing that if it wasn't for my mom that they may not be here today was a pretty crazy thought.
Yeah, that's man, that's an amazing story. Like I said, my wife's a nurse, and whenever someone is a organ donor and, you know, and they pass and they're going to participate, I guess you would say, they have what they call a hall walk, where everybody lines the hallways and that person's taken past. I mean, it's such a great thing, and they really put it on a pedestal because that's where it belongs. And so I'm really glad someone like you that has a platform like you do is able to, you know, push that and represent that well. Are you going to be driving the No Donate for Life car any of this year?
That's the one thing a lot of people don't realize is that there isn't really a national Donate Life. Like, there's a Donate Life America, but all that really is a brand that all the local OPOs they have the option to use to promote organ donation. So actually, when we made people see Donate Life on the card, or Iowa Donor Network, or Nevada Donor Network, it's actually the local OPOs are called that are teaming up with us, and that's a really cool thing. But we're getting all our plans put together now, and we know for sure when we go to Atlanta and Vegas and Phoenix and Iowa, and there'll be many more, that we'll be running our Donate Life cars there. So that's something that I'm always really happy and proud of when we can do that and to raise awareness, but not only that, but honor all those affected by it as well.
That's great. And talking about sponsoring your car, I guess there was some pretty big news last week. And it's actually a sponsor I never heard of, Eternal Fan. You driving the Cup and the Xfinity this coming season, can you give us insight like how that deal came together?
Yeah. Last week, we're really happy to announce that I'll be in motorsports this year, full time on the Xfinity side in the 35 car, and part time on the Cup side in the 56 car. And starting with the Daytona 500, and Eternal Fan is going to be one of our big partners this year. They're not a full-time sponsor for a car, and we're still looking for more sponsors. But Eternal Fan is a company that made that possible for us, and the cool thing is that they're actually from my hometown as well, in Cedar Rapids. But what Eternal Fan is doing is literally all about the fans, and that's the really cool thing about it. And what they do is, right now they actually have two partnerships going with two different racetracks, which is Richmond and Watkins Glen. And at Watkins Glen, they got a brick program going on. And if you're a hardcore NASCAR fan, and Watkins Glen is one of the tracks that you grew up going to, and a track that you've been going to forever, year after year, you can actually buy a brick and put your name on there or a loved one's name on there, and it'll be placed at Watkins Glen, and it'll be there forever. And at Richmond, they're doing kind of the same thing, but kind of on a bigger platform. Eternal Fan's the sponsor up there, the pedestrian tunnel, and they also build a really cool, massive stainless steel piston out front. And in the tunnel, you can put your loved one's name in the tunnel or picture as well. And then in the piston, you can put some loving objects or memories of a loved one in the piston as well. And both of those things will be there forever. So it's something that's pretty cool, where you can leave your mark at your favorite speedway for forever. Or if a loved one's passed, you can always remember them that way and go visit that spot year after year. So it's something that's really cool and unique, and something that Eternal Fan's growing, not only in NASCAR, but also across other sport venues as well.
It's a very cool concept.
Yeah, it is. I honestly didn't know much about it. Yeah. So I tried Googling some stuff, reading some stuff on it. But thanks for putting that in perspective for us. That's, man, you're like the most fan-oriented driver we've talked to yet, it seems like. That's awesome. That's awesome.
We try to be. And actually, another thing that they're doing as well with their Fan Memories program is that in our Daytona 500 car, they're actually giving people the chance to have their name or picture on our car as well. And a name's only $25 and a picture's $100. And if anyone's interested on that, they can send me a message on Joey Gase Racing, either on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll put them in the right direction.
Fantastic. Awesome. Now, how about company logos, like a Wrecking and Racing podcast logo on your car for $100? Is that possible?
I think we can make that work.
Well, then we might be reaching out to you. Yeah, absolutely. Something I want to bring up, we had Tommy Joe Martins on our last episode, and I asked him, hey, Tommy, who's your nemesis? And he's like, ah, man, that's a hard one. He's like, I think right now I would have to go with Joey Gase. So what's your thoughts on that?
He did say, to be fair, they had smoothed it out. So
yeah,
just want to make sure you feel the same way, Joey.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like whenever we're racing out on the track, I guess we're always trying to be at the same place at the same time, or he chooses me maybe the race harder than anyone else, and I don't really know why that is. but I think what Tommy does off the track and what he does with the fans is really cool. But yeah, we definitely had a few run-ins on the track for sure.
That's funny. Question for you, Joey. So you guys announced last week that, you know, you got the new partnership in the Xfinity series and you're going to be in the Supra, right? There was also the announcement that the production Supra was coming out, and, you know, the official unveiling of all that. Have you got your hands on one of those, or got to sit in one of any of the new Supras? Not your race car, but the production version?
I have not yet. I definitely like to sit one and check one out and take it on a test drive for sure, but unfortunately I haven't been able to do that yet.
It'll come. I'm not impressed myself, but, you know, whatever. But no, actually,
yeah,
it's a nice looking car.
It's one of those things where it's a type of design where I think a lot of people either really like it or really hate it, and it's just different. And it's something that I think some people will get used to. And honestly, as a race car driver, I don't really care what it looks like as long as it makes me go faster, and I think it's going to do that. So.
Awesome.
All right, we got a few more questions just to try to learn a little bit more about you. iRacing or NASCAR Heat 3, you do either one?
I do a little bit of both, but very limited. When I was a kid, I did all the NASCAR games growing up. I played them all the time. And when iRacing first came out, I used to play it all the time nonstop. But I'm definitely a little busy now and too busy to do it a lot. But every once in a while, I hop on there and we'll maybe do a race or two. But I think it's both of those things are both really good for the sport and really good for the fans.
Good. Yeah, I think you're probably settling down, right? I mean, you just got married or you just got engaged or something, correct?
Yeah, we just got married in December. So,
yeah, okay.
Congratulations.
It's been a very busy off-season, to say the least.
Ready to get back to the racing season, though, I presume, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone thinks the off-season is a really nice time of year and all that kind of stuff, which it is if you all your sponsorships locked up and you know what you're doing next year and all that. But if you don't know that, it's kind of the worst time of the year, because all you're doing is sitting around, stressing out about it, and I mean, not sitting around, you're working on things to get stuff going and sponsorship and all that, but sitting in the office for 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's pretty tiring, so I'm definitely ready to get back on the track and doing what I like to do.
Yeah, pissing Tommy Joe Martin's off, yes. No, that's a great rivalry. Tommy's a great guy, talking to him. For us, make his life hard. Tap him a couple times for us.
All right, hopefully I don't have to worry about him too much.
Hopefully he'll be behind you, right?
yeah, exactly. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food is definitely, I would say, chicken. I eat a lot of chicken.
Okay, like from a certain place or homemade? Chicken fingers, chicken tenders.
Really kind of any kind of chicken I'm good with. I go to Chick-fil-A a lot.
Oh yeah,
so good choice.
Probably one of the bigger customers.
Yeah, except for Sundays, but yes. Yeah. Did you hear about the Super Bowl? They have a Chick-fil-A where they're going to have the Super Bowl this year, but they're not going to open it for the Super Bowl because it's on a Sunday.
That's devotion.
Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, they have a value, and that's good. Yep. Favorite beer.
Alcohol at all. It's just something I've never done, and just kind of something I've always kind of stuck with.
Good. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Unfortunately, we drink every episode. Yeah, it's bad for our health. So yeah, good for you. Good for you. What would you say is your worst habit?
Oh man, I don't know. think about that, but I
put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
Really sit still ever. Okay. I'm always humping and doing something, or always thinking about something or something like that. I never sit and rest, and it kind of drives people crazy sometimes, like my wife.
What is something that you're really good at that people don't know?
I would say I'm a decent drawer when I have to be. I can draw things out if I have to and stuff like that. But the weird thing is my handwriting is really bad.
Okay.
So it's weird how it works out. But. Yeah.
Do you ever design your own paint schemes or anything?
I used to all the time draw that stuff on like NASCAR 2003.
Okay.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. I used to love and sit down and do all that, but don't do it much anymore. And we actually are doing a paint scheme competition right now on our social media pages. We let our fans design our Donate Life card for the year. So now we have 14 finalists. And people have until Friday at 9 p.m. at Easter time to vote. So we definitely encourage everyone to go to our Facebook page, which is Joey Gase Racing, and vote for your favorite scheme, which they're all really good. And I was going to narrow it down to 5, but I couldn't choose. We had over 50 people submit in 5 days. And I couldn't get it down to 5, so I made it down to 14.
Okay.
Left up to our fans to decide from there.
Nice. Very nice. Cool. Yeah. We'll make sure we share that too on Twitter and stuff so people can get some votes in. Awesome. And basically, the last question for you before you have to go is what is something you want the fans to know about you?
A lot of people assume nowadays, unfortunately, that a lot of the drivers out there were born in money or are rich and stuff like that, and that's kind of one of the bad things of the sport now, where that's not the case for everybody, but it is for probably at least 25% of the drivers now. But me and my family, we've put everything we've had into racing for me, and a lot of people made a lot of sacrifices for me to get here, but we definitely were not a rich family at all. My mom was a hairstylist, and my dad worked at a power plant and out in the coal all the time, so it's definitely not the case. Everything that I've gotten for sponsorship is actually a true sponsorship, and we've worked our butts off to get here.
Yeah, it's awesome, and fans should respect that. One last thing is, we're from Southern Indiana, and I've seen that you spent some time with one of your sponsors in Southern Indiana recently, right down the road from us, actually, over in Ferdinand and Huntingburg, Jasper area, Best Furnishings. Yeah. How did you like Indiana compared to Iowa?
I like Indiana. It's actually, I would say, quite a bit like Iowa. There's probably a little more trees and stuff like that. And Southern Indiana, I think, is a little warmer than the part of Iowa I was from, but I'd have to say it's a lot the same, and one thing that me and my wife got excited when we went and visited out there was that you guys had Casey's. We're big fans of Casey's gas stations.
The general stores, they're all over the place here, yeah. Awesome. You know, 10 years ago, they weren't. So it's somewhat of a new development for us. We had Hucks everywhere, and then they ran Hucks out, which is okay. I prefer Casey's over Hucks. But the place in the U.S. that's the best when it comes to a gas station is Buc-ee's in Texas. Those things are just...
Buc-ee's?
Yeah, it's amazing.
So they're pretty amazing, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in. Thanks for taking the time with us. We really, really appreciate it, and we learned a lot of good stuff about you tonight. Hopefully, maybe again in the future. Anyway, tell your wife we said hi, and good luck to you in your marriage, and thanks again for calling in.
Okay, well, we'll do. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you. Man, that was some really good insight from Joey. I appreciate him calling in. And fans, if you're listening, do yourself a favor, do your family a favor, do everybody a favor, become an organ donor. Very important thing to do in life to help other people.
Yep.
So do what you can, definitely. And also, make sure you go check out Twitter, Facebook, follow Joey Gase, and also help choose his paint scheme. It's a pretty neat competition, and get it involved.
I am a donor. Are you a donor?
Absolutely. Absolutely, my wife would kick my ass if I wasn't.
Well, she does that anyways.
True.
I got a good question for you. What's a Buc-ee's?
Oh, Buc-ee's, yes. That is a very fancy gas station in Texas.
So what?
And actually, I just read
fancy to, how?
They're massive in size, very clean, and they have like the options you have are crazy for like dried nuts. I mean, just like they make their own jerky. I mean, it's like a gas station on major steroids.
So it's like a Cracker Barrel gas station.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're really crazy. I mean, they're huge, huge facilities. Hmm. But anyway, they're open. Actually, I read today that they opened their first one outside of Texas today, and that was in Alabama.
Speaking of things that need to work their way out of the Southwest, we need In-N-Out, man. What's up with that? We'll
never have an In-N-Out.
They need to,
we're
though.
We're in Corn Belt America.
Well, it doesn't have to be right here. It could be Tennessee for all I care. Just like... I just need it in a 100-mile radius of my mouth.
Of your mouth? Well, I guess that could be Indy, St. Louis, Nashville.
You don't like In-N-Out? Don't you miss it? You
it's
had
okay.
it whenever
yeah,
you
I've
were
had
in
it
Houston.
Several times, yeah.
Well, you got
Well, they didn't have it in Houston.
Oh, they didn't?
No. They had Whataburger. And Whataburger,
see,
to me, is better than In-N-Out.
See, no, I've had Whataburger. I wasn't impressed. That's like a Whopper from Burger King.
No, it's not. It's much better.
Mm-mm. It's the same.
No.
It's same.
No. See, In-N-Out never done anything for me. I've been to Vegas a whole...
Did you get it animal
many...
style?
What the heck's animal style?
Oh, dude, you got to get it animal style. If you don't get it animal style, it's with the special seasonings and dressing and stuff that they put on it.
I always get them loaded. I don't know if they've ever called it animal style that I can remember.
It's kind of like a Thousand Island dressing.
Like a Big Mac sauce?
Not exactly, but it's not as related as that, but... I guess I see your point.
I don't know, In-N-Out, I mean, they're good, but they never was really...
Fans, let us know. Do you prefer In-N-Out or Whataburger? We got to settle this beef, no pun intended.
Or Five Guys.
Nah.
No, not in the same category. Smash
I don't. I mean, Five Guys is okay, but it doesn't get hold a candle to that for me. Maybe, but I mean, we've got those locally, but I don't even really eat there that much, do you?
Yeah, I don't. Not anymore, I don't.
They're
so greasy.
I'd rather have Culver's.
I do like Culver's. Do you like Culver's over Steak and Shake?
They're very similar.
Yeah.
I like both.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of any other.
Actually, one of my favorite burgers, believe it or not, is Rally's.
Really?
Or some of our fans are listening to Checkers.
I haven't eaten. That's kind of like Hardee's and Carl's Jr.
Yeah.
I like the fact that we just totally went down a fast food burger rabbit hole here.
Yeah, I'm very hungry now.
Anyway, so we can...
Moving on.
Topic here.
So, Xfinity news. So, BJ McLeod is going to 3 full-time Xfinity teams. One with our buddy Vinny Miller. Matt Mills is driving the 8 car. Vinny's going to be in the 78 and the 99 car. It's going to be driven by multiple drivers, but one of them is Tommy Joe Martin's, another friend of the show, and BJ himself.
Cool.
I think BJ's doing the 500, I think, in that car.
That's awesome, though. It's good to see them all.
Yeah,
expanding, growing.
It is. It's very good. And we've had, you know, Vinny and Tommy on the show. So hopefully maybe we can get Matt Mills to call in too. That'd be great.
Yeah.
And like I said, we've talked about this before, but I really became a fan of most of the smaller teams out there. And, you know, BJ McLeod's definitely an example of becoming a fan. I mean, mm-hmm. I got a shirt now. One of these days I'll actually wear it. I was waiting for us to start our video series before I wore it.
When's that starting?
I don't know. I was going to ask you. Are we doing it or not? We need to get off our tushes.
Other news, Fire Alarm Services is on board with John Hunter Nemechek over at GMS Racing in the Xfinity Series this year.
Ah.
So, cool to see that. I'm excited for John Hunter.
Yeah, I think he'll do good.
I do too.
That GMS car, I think, is going to stand out this year.
We've seen Chase have some speed in it last year when
he
did a few races.
We've seen Justin Haley almost win the race.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And then, you know, I can't even remember if we covered this in the last episode. Since it's been 3 weeks, I don't think we covered this, but it is official. Ross Chastain is not going to be in the 42 car for Chip Ganassi in the Xfinity Series.
Isn't he going to be in a truck now?
Well, he does have a partial ride with, like, Nice Motorsports or Nice, something whatever, like that.
Yeah, I think he does a premium cup car.
Yes.
Right.
But it's official that Ganassi is going to completely shut down their Xfinity program.
Yeah.
That's a bummer, all that because is. Of the whole DC Solar thing.
Putting all your eggs in one basket for a sponsorship.
Unfortunately, like, you know,
I haven't heard any updates on it.
No, they haven't. We don't know the real details there, what happened, or, you know, what's ongoing. And, you know, it's none of our business, I guess. But it's just unfortunate that, you know, we saw the same thing with Roush, basically. No, well, not the same exact thing. But Roush shut down their program. So two Cup, you know, backed Xfinity teams not going to be in that series. What's that mean for Xfinity? Like, do you think this is something that Xfinity Series NASCAR needs to be worried about? Is this a one-off situation?
I think this is good for the smaller teams. Well, I think you see somebody like BJ take advantage of this.
Well, I agree there.
Which might make better racing. And what I mean by better racing, more competitive with each other instead of one or two teams running away with it. I mean, you're still going to have those two teams running away from it, but I think it lessens it.
Yeah, I don't know. Just overall, you know, I think it does hurt the series in a...
Yeah.
I hate to see that, but... Let's face it, that's two or three more cars that Xfinity drivers... Some driver out there doesn't have the option to sit in now.
Yeah. And talking about, like, Roush closing down, I seen that a group of investors bought all their inventory, essentially. And one of the investors, part of this investing group, is the Steelers quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had not heard that.
I don't know what they're going to do with all that stuff. I'm assuming they're going to try to build a team at some point through the season.
I was going to say, a little late now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I would think they would have to just have a partial schedule this year. Kind of like what Obika did last year.
Yeah.
And then full-time next year. Hmm. But it's premium equipment.
Well,
unless you take the 60 number along with it, then you're spending out of a race. But.
Yeah, that car has some bad juju with it. Best of luck to them. I mean, I hope somebody's able to do something with it. You know, any time you see a new team or somebody take the reins, you know, of something like that, it's good to see that reinvestment in the sport. So hopefully we'll see something out of it.
Yeah, I think we will. It's not going anywhere. I think it's going to make it more competitive, if you ask me. So in truck news,
mm-hmm.
Did you see the whole fiasco with Johnny Sauter being kicked from his ride and Brett Moffitt taking it over?
I did. That's crazy.
So I think I read somewhere that the top four finishing truck drivers are all not back with their team again this year. They've all switched.
Wow.
Or moved on, like Noah Gragson.
I'm very interested to know what Johnny's going to do. Obviously, he's competitive. He's a veteran of the sport. Surely he's going to land somewhere, right?
Yeah, I would assume, yeah. I mean, the dude's a top-notch driver in the truck series. It's pretty late
in the season.
Yeah.
Or in the off-season to get something going. So, best of luck to Johnny. That sucks.
Yeah. He's a personality that's really good for the sport. So, definitely. Other truck news is that Austin Hill will be joining Atari Trucks, and then Spencer Boyd joining Young Motorsports.
Oh, okay. Good for
them. So there's a lot of movement in the truck series, but what that means is that these guys are getting a chance to prove themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you see, off topic of trucks, Chris Bell won in the Chili Bowl?
That was actually going to be my next piece of news, but yes, I did.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think it was a damn good race. It's crazy because they had so many heats.
Yeah, they did. So for those of you that didn't get to watch it, Christopher Bell had a last lap pass on Kyle Larson.
And there was some people saying, oh, he got into him. Other people say no. And Larson basically said himself that he screwed up.
Mm-hmm. And that Bell sucks did for Larson. Wrong. That's like the third year in a row it's been ripped out of his hands. Last year he had mechanical issues while he was leading. This year...
Well, let's talk about Larson. It's the same thing we talk about every time we bring him up.
Oh, trust me. I saw it on Twitter. Everyone's saying, Larson's choked again.
No, I didn't see that on Twitter, but that's exactly what freaking happened. You have Kevin Harvick, the closer. You have Kyle Larson, the anti-closer.
Well. you know, could be just an extended run of bad luck. Maybe that'll change this year.
Lugs.
Hey, I'm confident that's going to change this year. Okay. Write it down in your diary.
How many times we talk about this past season? That he's right there on the cusp, but he pushes it a little too much and basically takes himself out of it.
Yeah, but I don't know what... I didn't ever really see a good view of what he did to give up that position.
And Chili Bowles, either did I, but he admitted that he pushed it too hard and got, I guess, too high in that one corner that where Chris Bell went underneath him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's admitting that he screwed it up. It's just, again, it's the same thing with Kyle Larson.
Yeah. There's a lot of cup drivers out there, too.
Stenhouse, Landon Castle.
Yeah. Bowman.
Alex Bowman, yeah.
Yeah, there was like, what, over almost 400 sprint cars out there going through those heats.
So many of them. And there's some people that really impressed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all over Twitter. It blew up Twitter up for a whole week.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool event. And I watched it. It was on. So I saw on Twitter somebody had posted, and actually Landon Castle liked the tweet, and that's how I saw it. Somebody had posted that, hey, if you sign up for Fubo TV, it was basically like Hulu Live or Sling, right, or something like that. If you sign up for that, do like the 7-day trial, there's like a sports package that you can also add on, and you get that for the first 7 days free. So, and it's got MAV TV, who was like the exclusive streaming provider.
That's owned by Lucas Oil, if you didn't know
that.
Yeah,
they are. That was the other option. You had to buy a $100 subscription package to Lucas Oil TV. So those were your only two options. So I did that. I signed up for the free trial just to watch the Chili Bowl. But yeah, dude, there were so many cars out there. It was crazy. But they need to get that more mainstream. Get it on FS1 or Fox Sports 2 or NBC Sports.
I read today that the XFL is having ESPN and Fox bidding over to show their games. The XFL.
Hmm.
You should be able to get something like that on FS1 or something.
You would think so.
I mean, look at the fan interaction on Twitter alone. I mean, just you learn about so many drivers you never heard of. You talk about the guy that brought his party bus with his sprint car on the back of it.
Oh, yeah, I did. I saw that one, too. But yeah, but, you know, that's something they definitely need to push a little harder, I think, next year, television-wise. Or at least have a free stream.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I've got to see if I got any other news. You got any other news?
I do not.
Okay, I do. Going back to Cup, I know we already covered it, but JTG today unveiled...
Oh, yeah, the paint schemes.
...series of paint schemes. And this is really cool, this whole process. So check this out. Go to their Facebook page, or ours. We shared it. I've got the screenshot here.
I mean, actually, the cars are really sharp-looking cars, man.
So both Priest and Buescher have this paint scheme thing going on. Basically, there's going to be like 7 paint schemes that they rotate through the season, but it's basically like seasonal paint schemes.
So I'll add a little bit to this. So I've worked retail before. And you have certain seasons of retail where they push certain things, like cleaning products or cooking, like picnic-type cooking, grilling out cooking. So basically, when I seen those paint schemes, it took me back to my retail days where you changed out your sets based on seasonal items, and that's exactly how their paint schemes are. Their paint schemes are like basically aligned to the way their stores are aligned for marketing.
Yeah, so it's all through Kroger and what Kroger's pushing in those months. So the first one is in March. Basically what they call flavor fill up, so it's going to be like snacking and stuff like that, and then they shift into the month of April, speed up your cleanup, so like spring cleaning, Clorox and Procter & Gamble products, and then personal pit stop month, personal healthcare brands, and then June, July is like thrill of the grilling season. That's cool, so they push you know, charcoal and stuff like that, and Bush's baked beans, which obviously we've seen all over the cars before. And then as the season turns cooler, simmer like a winter. So then they get into like the chili beans and Kraft and General Mills. So that's just really cool. I don't recall something like that.
Basically, pairing the store marketing environment to the car. Yeah, I agree. It's unique. It makes sense. Looking at it, as soon as I seen it, I'm like, holy shit! They just took their displays from the store simply and aligned it with the car. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Yeah. So wondering if you won't see that more with other consumer sponsors on the cars out there, if something right. and similar will be marketed.
Makes sense.
Could be a trendsetter.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, that 47 car looked actually really good.
It did. It did.
Yeah, I know when they first announced that Priest was going to take that car, they had this like unveiling paint scheme.
Mm-hmm.
It was the ugliest crap looking car ever. It had like brown on it and blue.
Yeah.
It looked stupid. This car with the red and the white and the blue looks really good.
Mm-hmm. Some other news. I won my first iRacing race.
Congratulations.
In the downtime from the last podcast.
Congratulations.
How many have you won?
I have never finished in top 10, I don't think. Yeah.
You need to I know you've been busy, but you need to get back in it.
Yeah, so with the whole family thing going on, and then before that, I broke my foot. I mean, it was just, a cataclysm of crap these last couple months.
Yeah,
that,
you need to get back in it, or just sign your yearly subscription over to me, one of the two.
Sure, I'll do that.
Which is really, that'd be like hell for me, because they'd have to dig you out of your like yeah. negative safety yeah. standings. That
Man,
you've
I
got.
Really hate it, because I'm like always leading the race I'm in, always.
Oh, sure.
And I always get
after
taken.
After qualifying P1, right?
Yes, I get taken out. It's like turn one every single time some douche nozzle runs
sure,
into me.
I'm sure. Are you sure you're not the douche nozzle taking out the leaders?
I would not. You've raced how many times with me? You know I don't race like that.
Right. Whatever you say. Anyways, get back in it. Gas man, you can do it. I have faith in you.
Maybe, my plan is to start again very soon.
Maybe you can get back in it this weekend and we'll end up in the same
hopefully.
Same room, same race, whatever.
Yeah, hopefully.
They did release the odds for the Daytona 500. Any guesses on who they picked?
So I did see
the
odds
for the best odds
before, but this has been like a month ago.
Okay. Well, that was for the championship is what we talked about last time.
This was after the championship. This was for the 500 posted. The best odds I seen going off my memory was Brad Keselowski.
Yes. He
has still like
8-1
or something?
8-1, yep.
Okay.
Then Harvick and Logano were tied next with 9-1. And then it just kind of tapered down from there. Chase is 12-1.
You're really into this betting stuff now, it sounds like.
I like talking about it, but when it comes to my personal money, I don't.
How many times have you bet in your life?
I don't like to partake. Actually, you know what? When I went to Vegas probably about 10 years ago, I played a lot of blackjack.
Oh, yeah?
Nice. I was up a couple hundred dollars.
That's pretty good.
And I don't know. That's like pretty much the last time I gambled. I don't know. I just don't. I don't feel the need to gamble.
I don't gamble that much either. Yeah. I don't. I'm risk averse.
And
I like my
money. I don't understand slots. Like, why is that appealing to people?
Because it's easy.
It's completely, like, there's no skill to it. At least with blackjack, you can kind of pick your poison a little bit there.
Sure.
It's obviously what
I like roulette.
It's obviously what you're dealt, but no, I've never played that either.
It's fun.
So, I don't know. Maybe we'll go to Vegas and do that one day.
That'd be great.
Last thing I got, Rolex 24s this weekend.
Oh, yeah, it is. And then, Amendinger is going to be an announcer and driving a car.
Yes. So that's cool. Check that out. It's going to be not continuously 24-hour coverage, but it's the most coverage they've had in the last few years that I can remember. But it's on NBCSN. Rutledge Wood Jr. is going to be down there. A lot of NASCAR commentators are going to be involved with it. So I think it's going to be really cool to watch. So definitely check that out if you get time.
A couple things I'm surprised you didn't announce that I just thought about. Is that Jeff Gordon renewed his contract with Fox?
He did. Yep.
Extended it. And then the whole Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt documentary, it came out today?
No, the 14th after 14th. The Clash.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right after, like literally right after the Clash. That's right.
Yep. Yep. So I don't know what exactly that's going to like entail or what they're
trying
to cover.
I know Gordon's a producer of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So either way, I'll watch it.
I know they're talking to like Hendrick, Richard Childress, Gordon Jr., Larry Mack, I believe. Anyway, there's a lot of people that are just talking about the dynamic about how Senior and Gordon were rivals on the track, but super good friends off the track, and you know, business partners, etc. So it's going to kind of dive into that relationship and how Gordon talks about how much he owes to Senior for, you know, showing the ropes on things, teaching him things, stuff like that. So it's going to be good. It's gonna be good.
I feel a slight dig in there.
Do you? Yeah. Why is that?
We did obviously didn't teach him how to win more races, so it's interesting.
Well, maybe he picked up a couple good things from him, but you know, 7 championships compared to how many?
4.
Okay. So obviously,
how many does Junior have?
This isn't about Junior. Oh, it's about senior. Okay.
Deflect mode.
Possibly. Anyway, so fans, as always, thank you.
On a sour note, yeah. We're ending this.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling your friends. You are beautiful people. Have a great day.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.